Good morning. No one can control the type of storm that's going to come our way. The Bible says storms rained on the righteous and the unrighteous, the just and the unjust. Today we've come to the third message on the topic of foundations. And what's very important, Jesus said, if you will just hear and do your best to obey my word, there will not be any area that the enemy can cause you to fall or stumble. We have learned that obedience to Christ's words enables us to overcome anything. Somebody say anything that would come our way. When we obey, Jesus said, we are wise people. How many want to be wise? You know what wisdom is? Solomon said wisdom is knowing and doing what's right. There's a lot of people that know, but how many do? And when we are hearing and obeying Christ's words, we are wise and we're building our house upon a rock. And conversely, when we hear and do not obey, the Bible says we're foolish. And we're building our lives upon sinking sand that will soon crumble and fall when the storms hit. Now, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is the greatest message that was ever preached by the greatest man that ever lived, Jesus Christ. And today we've come to Matthew 5, verses 13 through 20, where Jesus explained the results when we reflect the character of Christ in our lives. He used two common household items, salt and light. How many ever put salt on your food? Okay. And he used salt and light to show us the influence that you and I have upon this world. Now, make no bones about it. A true Christian will make a difference in this world. Some of you didn't hear that, so let me say it again. A true Christian will make a difference in this world. The character of Christ cannot describe who you are without affecting what you do. See, that's how we see the difference between a true and a false believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus today gives us the natural world to show us spiritual realities. Jesus said in the Word of God, whether the fruit of a person's life is good or bad, they're not accidentally good or bad. Their actions reveal their nature. Children of God produce good fruit, acting in a way that points to the Heavenly Father. And other people who say they belong to Christ, but the bad fruit they produce is evident that they don't live for God. They live self-serving lives, not Jesus our King. And spiritually, the truth of it is, many of us are not living totally in the light, and also we're not living totally in the dark. Some have settled for a life of dusk. Now that brings us to Matthew 5:13, and before we read it, let's pray. Father, oh God, how important this message is today. Because if we don't know your word, then we can't obey it. I pray that everyone here today would not just hear your words, but they would make a commitment to obey. Because, Lord, when we make a commitment to obey, your Spirit helps us to do it. Help me preach it. Let the word connect, touch, heart, and change lives, and all God's people said. Okay, let's begin with Matthew 5:13. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled on by men. Now, when you do your best, and you don't have to be Superman or Superwoman, the greatest thing you can do, ever do, is just hear God's word and make a commitment to try to obey it. Do you hear me? See, it's not whether we can do it, but the question is, do we want to? But if we'll obey, what happens is we'll overcome the storms of life. But when you make a commitment to live as Christ says, you function as salt and light in the world we're living in. And it's not a choice. It is a fact. Jesus said whether the fruit of a person's life is good or bad, and we can bring both different ones at different times, that our actions reveal our nature. Children of God produce good fruit, and they act in a way that appoints to the Heavenly Father. Others say they belong to Christ, but they have bad fruit. It's evidence that they live to serve themselves, not Jesus, our King. Now notice this. Salt was very valuable in Jesus' day. Let me tell you why. They didn't have any side-by-side refrigerators back in that day. They didn't have any way of refrigeration to keep their meats from rotting. The Romans believed that salt and light was two of the most important things that a person could have. Salt gives taste, and light enables you to see. And Romans believe, except to the sun, the next most important thing is salt. Do you know many soldiers, when they were paid, you know how they were paid? They were paid in salt. That's the reason. You ever heard somebody say, that man's not worth his salt? That's what he's talking about. Now, only a pinch of salt goes a long way. I remember one time, I don't really salt much of anything, and I went to a place that was really salted, and I'm telling you, I could tell there was salt in those eggs. Now, salt is also a preservative, keeping meat from rotting or spoiling. Also, there was impure salt that was from the Dead Sea that's lost its taste. And Jesus said it was good for nothing to be cast out, and they cast out in the street, and people would walk on it. And people who say they're Christians, but they don't really try to obey God's word, they lose their spiritual flavor, and they cause others to turn from Christ. Instead of purifying the atmosphere, they destroy the atmosphere like rottenness. The next verse says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. Everybody say, I'm the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hid. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light, your influence, your actions, your deed, your fruit, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now remember, Jesus came as a light in a world in spiritual darkness. And he expects Christians to reflect his light. And he compared the light in our lives to a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Jesus then compared his followers to a candle used to bring light in a dark house. And he pointed out how foolish it is to light a candle and put a clay basket over it. See, houses in Jesus' day were very, very dark. Often they had one little window at the very top, small, and it would have a little light that would come through to keep thieves from entering the house. And many had a portable candlestick on which you could put a candle, and the stand could be moved about during the house and go from one location to the other, providing light wherever it's needed. That's the reason you and I are Christians. That's the reason you are where you are. And many times, especially in the workplace, sometimes at school, God will put you in a place that's spiritually dark. But he's putting you in a place there for your light to shine, for your influence to impact. And don't put a basket over it and cover it up because you're ashamed, but let your light shine. Now, Jesus' disciples were to reflect the light of their master, who was the light of the world. and the combined lights of many Christians coming together on a hilltop, the Bible says you cannot hide it. Now, like lamps in a dark house, you and I must reflect Jesus in a dark world. And we must no more try to hide our light. People said, just don't talk about Jesus. Just keep your salvation to yourself. No. We must no more try to hide our light in a world where somebody would try to put a clay basket over us and block out the light. But rather, the light of Christ within you and I were to shine at the best location so that all the people could see. You see, God knows where light's needed. And what's amazing is how He's placed you where you are. And He will sometimes move you around to let the light to shine. Why? So people can see. Now, true believers reflect from within them the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the light of the world. Now, let's look at verses 15 through 20. It reveals the good and the bad. Verse 15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are raging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Somebody say, by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? Now, Jesus issued a warning here. For people who wanted to be Christians, but they really were not, they were masquerading and acting like Christian. They put on Christianese. You know what Christianese is? That's Sunday talk. Christianese talk. And a lot of times, false Christians learn the Christianese. And his warning formed the content for introducing the imagery of good things and bad things. And it all happened according to fruit. Now, Jesus drew a clear picture. He said, there are wolves. Now, what do wolves try to do? They try to kill sheep. But sometimes a wolf will come in with a sheep clothing. It'll happen in a church. It'll happen in a city. It'll happen all around. And there'll be a wolf lurking, living up to its nature of killing sheep. And Jesus warned his hearers that there would be false prophets that would come in disarming disguise. It's when you look, oh, it looks so good. But they're peddlers of errors and false prophecies, and they cause destruction among God's flock. Now, it's a warning that should be heeded by everybody and in all places. And in verse 16, Jesus alerted us here that false prophets, you don't have to be afraid about who they are, because you said you can recognize them by their fruit. Now, remember, the fruit of Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such you cannot criticize. And God's people must ask, what is the outcome of a false prophet? Does he leave people better than they found them? Does his message encourage godliness in the lives of the hearers? Does he teach God's truth? Or does he always say, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, or current events? Does his private life match his teachings? Now, I want to tell you, Jesus' teaching this morning is the same as it was back then. So you make a careful inspection of the fruit of a person's life, their message, and their motives. It's not just right to do the right thing for the wrong purpose. You got to do the right thing for the right purpose. Now, to emphasize the point, Jesus asked two questions that's clear to everybody. Listen to this. Do people gather grapes from thorns? Or figs from thistles? And the answer, everybody say no. False prophets do not produce Christ's likeness. Every Christian is obligated to seek and make the will of Christ the main thing in their lives. That's the reason we have God's Word. Every time we hear God's Word, we put ourselves in transition mode. And when we hear the Word of God, we change our thoughts. And we change our lives because we think God thoughts. We think pure, holy, just, lovely thoughts. And it helps us to have peace. And what happens, every Christian is obligated to make Christ's will most important. You know why? God knows more than you know. God knows better than I know. God's will is better than your will. Now, what's your greatest plans for your life? Wow! You know what? I got something news for you. God's plan's better than your plan. But the key is find God's plan and do it, and then you'll be blessed. Can someone say amen? So why should we... Okay, go ahead and give God praise. You won't say this. It's the Lord's word. What do we do to people that there's never any love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, makes goodness, faith, temperance? Forgive me for saying that so fast. Verse 17. In the same way, listen to this. Read it with me. Every good tree produces good fruit. But a bad tree produces, read again, in the same way, every good tree produces, but a bad tree produces, verse 18, read it with me. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Now that's your lesson for today. Jesus goes from thorns and thistles to fruit trees. And he used language that everybody here can understand. Every good tree will bring forth good fruit. And all you need to see is the tree dictates the quality of the fruit. Jesus said the reciprocal, the reverse is also true. Just as a good tree cannot bear forth evil fruit, a corrupt tree cannot bear good fruit. Disease trees produce disease fruit. Can someone say amen? Amen? A true prophet produces fruit in his own life and in his hearer's life. But a false prophet is flawed in his life and he reproduces flaws in other people's life. Now let's go to verse 19. Every tree that doesn't produce fruit is cut down. Well, that's drastic. Cut down and thrown where? Ooh, that's not good. Verse 20, so will you recognize them by their what? Now, what's the true fruit of fruit trees? And what's the true fruit of false trees? What's true to them is the rest of us. It's all recognized by the way that we live. The quality of our hearts will show up in our attitudes, in our words. I'll never forget one time I was building a building years ago in a big plant, and this man told me what a godly man he was. He was helping us that day. He was a very godly man until a brick fell off and hit his toe. He told me what a great deacon he was, and he cussed worse than any sailor ever heard cuss. And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry," to me. And I said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." See, every one of you like a sponge. Everything, you're taking it in. And when you get pressure, the sponge is squeezed, and there it comes out. Now, the only thing that can come out is what's in it. Input, output. So the reason he cursed so is because it was in there, and when that brick hit him, it squeezed it out. All of us face the potential of being and doing good or being and doing bad. People whose lives are described, characterized by ungodly acts and attitudes are simply revealing what's in their heart. See, God knows who the pretenders are. Can you say amen? So it's no use to play act at being a Christian. Because one day, let's just face it, the outer layer is going to be stripped away and every heart's going to be laid before God. And all their pretenders will be ultimately exposed for their lack of genuine fruit. And I'll tell you something, friend. Bad trees face a bad destiny. Jesus said they're going to be cut down and cast into the fire. And the Bible is honest about a final destiny in the lake of fire. Let me read Revelation 20, verses 13 through 15. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And every person was judged according to what they had done. Next verse. Then death and Hades, or hell, were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And in the last verse, verse 15 reads, anyone, somebody say anyone, whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Wow! Now I want to tell you something. True believers are not perfect. But the difference between a true believer can sin, but I'm going to tell you what, when you do, you're going to be miserable. You'll be hard to live with. You talk about bad fruit. Wow, what's going to happen? But here's the deal. When you are a true believer, when you sin, you ready for this? You run to God, not from Him. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive. So here's what I want to say. If you sin and it doesn't bother you, it's a bad sign. One man the other day said, well, I can sin all the time. It doesn't bother me. I said, well, you know what you need to do? You need to get saved. Huh? Because when you're a Christian and you do wrong, I'm not saying you don't do wrong, but when you do it, boy, Holy Ghost conviction will get on your case, and He will really, you know, the Holy Ghost is a comforter, well, with a capital C, but I'm going to tell you, when you bear bad fruit, He can make you very uncomfortable and miserable. So what He does, you know what you do? You don't try to get forgiveness yourself. You run to God. You say, God, I've blown it. And what does He do? He forgives you, and you're right back on the road again. But if you can sin and sin and sin, and it doesn't faze you, something is terribly wrong. Can someone say amen? Believers are not perfect, but our hearts have been changed by God's forgiven love. And we grieve when we fall short, and we soon repent and are forgiven. But I'm going to tell you something. Let me try to close. Pretenders could care less. They can sin and cuss and raise hell, do all this stuff, and they can do all these things, and it doesn't, they're not real. But true Christians, when they sin, they really care about it. Now let me close. God immediately this morning knows who's right and who's not. The only way we can know who is not right is to watch their fruit and their actions. But listen, friend, actions demonstrate true faith, the inner person. The inner person is revealed, you ready for this? By what comes out your mouth, by your attitude, by how you live. It matters eternally, not to be saved. You don't live that way to get saved, but as proof that you're a genuine believer. Let's all bow our heads. Lord, we've all messed up. I know I sure have. Help us, Lord, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We must have the Spirit of God in our lives. We must have the Spirit moving in this church. And forgive us when we grieve your Spirit. But, oh Lord, I pray today that if there's one here today that is not really grieved, they can just sin and sin and sin, and they're not really grieved, then, Lord, they're not saved. Nobody looking in this building, please keep your head back. Who in this building would say, Pastor, I'm not ready for Jesus coming? Raise your hand. Here's a hand over here, two hands, three, on the main floor. Okay, put your hands down. None of us want to grieve Jesus. None of us want to grieve the Holy Ghost, whereby we're sealed unto the day of redemption. We must have the Spirit of God. Lord, there's storms that are coming that are going to hit with such a force. When I was incapacitated for 10 weeks, I saw the storms that were going to hit. And I saw that there's some families that are going to be washed away. You know why? Because they're not obeying your words, Lord. It's not that if they disobey and they repent and turn, I mean, they're just living that way and that's it. But Lord, I also saw that those that would hear this message, these messages for the next several weeks, and they would do their best to obey the Word of God, you know what? The winds of hell are going to hit against them. The storm's going to come. The floods are going to rise. But you know what? Your house will not fall because it's founded on the rock of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand.